Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You can be seated.
This morning we wish to continue our study of the names of God. We've been looking at this for the last couple times that I preached here, and we'd like to continue that this morning. And perhaps you ask, well, why is studying God's names so valuable? Is it so significant? Why so? And it's to help us better understand and know God himself. Learning to know God should be a pretty high priority for each one of us. In Exodus 33, Moses had an encounter with God. He was meeting with God, had a conversation with God. In verse 11, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So they were having this conversation, this counter, in verse 11. But then in verse 13, Moses says to God, Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. And the conversation continued, and in verse 18, Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You see, Moses knew God, but he wanted to know him better. He wanted to know more. He wasn't satisfied with what he had experienced. He wanted more. You see, Moses could have been satisfied with the burning bush experience. That was a significant experience. He received a special call. And he could have just kind of stayed there and the rest of his life talked about that experience and the call he received. He could have been satisfied with the 10 miraculous plagues. They were some tremendous times. He could have been satisfied with the parting of the sea. After all, this was deliverance. And he could have been satisfied with God supplying manna and quail and water from a rock. Their needs were met. God provided for them, and he could have been satisfied. But we see here that Moses still was not satisfied. He wanted more. He wanted more of God, and he wanted to know God better. And his prayer was, Lord, I want to know you more. Show me more of yourself. Is that your desire this morning? Is that our desire to know more of God, to have more of God, to know him better? Is our cry, Lord, show me more of yourself? Too often, we are content to stop at the bush. We've been introduced to God, and maybe we've heard his call for our life, and we're satisfied with that. Or maybe we stop at the Red Sea. God delivered us, so we're satisfied, and we stay there. Or maybe we stop with the manna and the quail and the water. After all, God's meeting our needs. He's providing for us, so what more do we want? But God wants us to continue to pursue him, not just what he gives, but to get to know him better and better. And so my desire is that as we look at God's names here, as we study God's names, that we get to see God in a new way and learn to know Him better. And my goal is that we would turn our focus and our minds again this morning toward God. That we would not be focusing on our busy schedules and the things we need to do this week. We would not be focusing on our health challenges, our physical challenges, maybe our financial challenges. That we would certainly not be focusing on politics, but that we would be focusing on God Himself. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And that's what we want to do again this morning. Now, I certainly appreciate the sacrifice and the work and the effort of those who translated the Bible into English many years ago, and I'm confident they gave careful consideration into the wording they chose. But sometimes I feel like we are missing something by not retaining a better awareness of the Hebrew names of God, which are not really portrayed in our version of the Bible. So my goal is to help increase that awareness. And I hope that as we look at these names, that you can remember something from it, that you can remember what the names mean, and that you can then think about those meanings as you read the Bible and how those meanings relate to the passage you are reading. And we want to do some of that this morning. And perhaps a little review and a table will help to accomplish that purpose. Like to have a little bit of review of the two sermons and two names that we looked at so far. Now, I realize it's several weeks going by, so we'll see how good your memory is. Who can tell me the first name that we looked at? Someone. Okay, that was actually the second one. Let's go back beyond that. Elohim, very good. Elohim was the first one. And can anyone tell me what Elohim means, what that name means or represents? And we talked about several things, but if you can give me one of them, I'll know. Okay, Elohim is the creator of all things. And He is also the eternal one. He existed before things as we know it existed. So Elohim is the eternal one. He existed before time. He will exist after time. He is a creator. He existed before matter, before space. He will exist after matter as we know it passes away. The first time this word or this name is used in the Bible is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And this Hebrew word was used over 2,500 times in the Bible. And typically in our Bibles, it's portrayed as God, G-O-D, capital G-O-D. So the second name we looked at then was Yahweh, also known as Jehovah. Yahweh would be the Hebrew term. Jehovah is the Latin term for Yahweh. And this word means, or name, is simply I am. I am the great I am. Yahweh is self-existent. He is. He does not need us to exist. He exists without us. He exists without our recognition of Him. I am. He is present. He is here. And He is personal. He is here now for us. So Yahweh, the great I am, self-existing, present, and personal. And we see that presented first time in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. It is used over 6,500 times in the Bible. And in our English Bibles, and this is consistent in most of the translations that we use, this Hebrew word is portrayed as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, all capitals. The Hebrew people were hesitant to actually mention this name due to its sacredness and respect. And it's portrayed in our Bible as Lord. Okay, so the name we'd like to look at today is Adonai, title Adonai, Lord and Master. And let's look, first of all, at the usage of this name in the Bible. This name is not used as frequently. It's used something over 300 times in the Bible, referring to God. Now, there's a form of that word used additional times when it refers to other positions. So it's not nearly as often as Elohim or Yahweh, as we've seen. How is this Bible portrayed, how is this name portrayed or shown in our English Bibles? It is also portrayed as the word Lord, but in this case, it is not in all capitals. It is simply capital L-O-R-D, small case letters except for the L. So you read the Bible, you see the word Lord. Sometimes it's in all capitals. That pertains to or refers to Yahweh. Sometimes it is not in all capitals, and that refers to Adonai. Now that can be confusing for us because we may not think about that difference as we're reading the Bible. Often we do not. And to me it seems somewhat unfortunate that both of these names of God are portrayed by using the same word, although there is that specification. Now, I say it appears unfortunate to me because I obviously have a limited understanding of what all went behind this translation. But I think it's important that we differentiate between these two names. Yahweh, I mentioned, is a proper noun, a name designated for God, a name used only for God. It is very personal. So what exactly does Adonai mean? Let's move into that. The meaning of the name Adonai. Well, Adonai actually does mean Lord. And that's why sometimes I think maybe a different word could have been used for Yahweh to help us distinguish that. But Adonai means Lord as we understand the meaning of the Lord. It designates our relationship to God. He is our Lord. And that, in turn, means that we are His subjects. When we recognize God as Adonai, we are submitting to His lordship. We submit to His plan for us. We submit to His desires, His intentions. He's the one that calls the shots. He makes the decisions and the plans. And our role is to say, yes, Lord, and submit to that. Now, Lord is not a word that we use a lot, except when referring to God. In our language, in modern-day English, we don't use the word Lord a lot other than referring to God. So in the real sense, what does this word actually mean? Definition of Lord is a person or deity who has authority, control, or power over others. Do you like that? Do you like the idea of someone having control and power over you? Perhaps we resist that a little bit, but that is what Adonai means. Adonai means Lord. It also means master. I'm using several different words to define the meaning to try to grasp the significance of what it actually means. I mentioned that we don't use the word Lord a lot in our everyday language in referring to other people. Outside of biblical or spiritual conversation, master may be a bit more common. And when we hear the word master, we might think of a slave owner. We read stories from back in the days of slavery. We hear of the slave and the master. So that might be what we think of. And if so, we're on the right track. Remember the definition of a lord? A person or deity who has authority, control, or power over others. So when we recognize God as Adonai, when we refer to that name, We are recognizing ourselves as his subjects, as his servants, or as his slaves. Do you like that? What is the duty of a slave? Well, it's basically one thing, to do whatever his master wants him to do. That is our role. One thing, whatever Adonai desires of us. Well, there's more. Adonai means Lord, Master. It also means owner. Now, a few minutes ago, we sang the song, I am thine, O Lord. I wonder how many of you were thinking about the words as you sang that song. Most of you this morning declared that you belong to God when you sang that song. And one verse says, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. Let my will be lost in thine. And that song referred repeatedly to God as our Lord, our Master, our owner. Legally, in the days of slavery, the owner of a slave had the legal right to do to him and with him whatever he wished. He could send him to the fields or to the barn or to the house. He could beat him if he wasn't happy with him. He could hire him out to someone else. He could sell him. He could separate him from his wife or her husband or his children or their parents. He could do whatever he wished. He had that legal right. And when we recognize God as Adonai, we are recognizing that we belong to him, and he has the right to use us and to move us as he sees fit. He doesn't need to consult with us. He doesn't need to ask our opinion. He makes the plans, and we obey. Do you like that? This is not just the Old Testament concept. Note what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, know ye not that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. He is the owner. And perhaps by now you're beginning to think, well, I don't really like this name, Adonai. I'm not sure I like this whole idea. Well, hang in there. Hopefully you will see the value in it. There's one more aspect of the meaning of the name Adonai. It also means that God is our provider. Now, when you own something, you are responsible to care for it. If you acquire a pet, you realize that you need to give it feed, you need to give it water, you need to give it a place to live. If it gets sick, you'll probably do what you can to help it. It depends on you, and you provide for it. Adonai is our owner. He is also our provider, providing that which we need. You see, a slave does not worry about what he is going to eat next week or next winter. Or next year. He doesn't need to plan ahead for those things because that is not his problem. That is his master's problem. Psalm 123, verse 2 says, behold, as the eyes of servants look onto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden onto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, there are some translations that portray this verse in a little different sense, and I'm not here to say which is more accurate, but I did find this an interesting thought. Some translations, the King James says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Some translations say, he giveth to his beloved while they sleep. Or, for the Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. You see, the point is, he provides, and we don't need to worry about it. God is a good owner. He takes care of his own. And I'm not referring only to material possessions. He has provided, and he provides for us spiritually and emotionally and much more. But when you think about a slave and his master providing for him, we realize and recognize that the provision of a master is somewhat conditional. If a slave worked hard all day, he could typically count on being fed that evening and having a place to sleep. But as you read and are aware of the history of slavery in our nation, you're aware that sometimes a slave decided he's no longer going to serve the master. He made an attempt to escape, and he ran off. And in that case, he was removing himself from the provision of his master. You can't imagine a slave trying to escape and running off, and his master running after him and saying, "Here, I want to give you food for your journey. Take a blanket. You'll need this blanket when you sleep tonight." That did not happen, because when the slave removed himself from submission to his master, he also removed himself from the provision of his master. If he fled, he was on his own. And if you expect God to provide for you, you need to submit to him and accept his conditions and his terms, because if we step out from under his authority, we may be stepping out from his provision as well. There are several quotes I'd like to share. The first one of them I picked up somewhere, and I don't know the source. "All there is of God is available to a man who is available to all there is of God." In other words, what this is saying is, if you give yourself to God, then all that God has is available to you. Another quote, this one by Andrew Murray. "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life fully yielded to him." Can you grasp the significance of that statement? If you are willing to fully yield and submit your life to God, God is willing to take responsibility for your life. He's willing to provide. And another one by Warren Wiersbe. He says, "Depend on people, be distressed. Depend on yourself, be depressed. Depend on God and be blessed." The idea that God provides for those who look to him and trust for him. So this is Adonai, Lord, Master, Owner, and Provider. Is he your Lord and your Master and your Owner and your Provider? Are you willing to make this personal and to call God your Adonai? Are you ready and willing to recognize what calling God Lord really means? It means giving up everything you have and are and placing yourself entirely at his disposal. So let's summarize what I presented so far by adding to our chart that we looked at earlier. So we can now add the name Adonai, which simply means Lord, Master, Owner, and Provider. This term is used the first time in Genesis 15, chapter 2, or verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2, 300 times, and it is designated as Lord with small case letters except for the L. Now, if you're like me, when you read the Bible, you get careless sometimes, and you tend to just view the names of God somewhat generically. After all, they refer to God, and God is God, right? Well, yes, but there's more to that. And we noted that Lord in capital letters and Lord in small letters, as used in our English Bibles, have two distinctly different meanings. And I'd like to look at an example of that. We find an example in Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, typically, when I read this verse, my thinking was that the second use of the word Lord is simply making this a little more personal. O Lord, our Lord, a little bit more personal. Not only is he Lord, he is our Lord. But not sure what happened to the projector here. Hopefully it'll come back soon. You notice these two words, the first one is all capitals. The second one is not. So to read this verse correctly, we would be reading, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Or to be more specific, O Yahweh, the self-existing, ever-present I am, our Adonai, our Lord, our Master, our Owner, our Provider. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, does that give you an additional perspective of who God is and of your responsibility and accountability towards him? Okay, I'd like to move on now and look at some applications to this name, Adonai. What does this name actually mean for us? If God is our Adonai, our Lord, our Master, our Owner, what does it mean for us? The application of the name Adonai. First of all, it means we belong to him. If God is our Adonai, we belong to him. And it means that every decision will be influenced by the question, what does my Lord want me to do? Every decision I make. And this will affect my major decisions, things like who I marry, or if I marry, or when I marry, or where I live, or the kind of house I buy, or where I work. God is my Lord, and he has a plan for my life. And so I will seek his interest, his will, his plan in these matters. But if God is my Lord, it will also affect smaller questions and decisions. How I dress, how I spend my time, how I spend my Sunday afternoons, how I spend my money, how I relate to my neighbors, who I spend my time with. And sometimes the answer to that question may not be what we wish it to be. But remember, Adonai is our master, and his desire is that which really matters. Recently, I listened to the biography of Adoniram Judson. You may recognize that name as a missionary. As a young man, Adoniram was planning to leave for Asia, South Asia, for mission work. And to him, this was a lifelong commitment. He felt that this was God's plan, the Lord's plan for his life. And he hoped to get married before he left. So he went to the father of the young lady he wished to marry. And this is what he said to her. This was his request to marry this man's daughter. He said, I have now to ask if you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her subjection to the hardships and suffering of a missionary life, to every kind of want and distress, insult and persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all of this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? Now, you fathers, what would you say if a young man came to you with that request? That would make us think a little bit. But Adoniram recognized God as his Lord, and he needed to submit to his plan. At their wedding, the father did consent, by the way, and at their wedding, The pastor committed this young couple to God's care and to the grave, with no expectation of ever seeing them in America again. The day after their wedding was their ordination. How would you like that, young men, the day after your wedding? The day after their wedding, they were commissioned to the missionary work. And I won't give you their entire biography. You can read that if you care to or listen to it. But true to expectation, theirs was a life of hardship and grief and early death, especially for his wife. But their lives belonged to God. They followed his call, and both Adoniram and his first wife, Anne, made tremendous contributions to the building of the kingdom of their Lord, Adonai. You see, Adonai means that we belong to God. We belong to him. It means we will build his kingdom. Secondly, it means that we will glorify him. We belong to him. We will glorify him. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Genesis 15. And in Genesis 15 is the first time that the word Adonai is used in the Bible. And we see some interesting things here. And I'm going to read the first two verses using the Hebrew names for God. Genesis 15, 1 and 2. After these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Adonai Yahweh, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Now there's something interesting here. Yahweh spoke to Abram, and Abram addressed him as Adonai Yahweh, Lord Yahweh. Now, typically, in verse 2, you say this says Lord God. Typically, the name Yahweh is shown in our Bibles as Lord in capital letters, as it is in verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Abram, all capital letters. In verse 2, Lord, small letters, that's Adonai, and then followed by the word Yahweh. But in this case, the translators chose not to repeat the same word twice, so they did not write, and Abraham said, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou give me? So in this case, they specified Yahweh as God, written in all capital letters. Some translations, depending what you're reading, will use the word Lord for Yahweh and then use the word sovereign for the word Adonai. But at any rate, Abraham is recognizing Adonai as his Lord and as his provider. And he asks him a question. He says, Adonai, my provider, what are you going to do seeing that I go childless? I don't have a son. You promised me a son. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to provide for this? Now, as I was looking at this account, I noticed something else that I felt was interesting. We're looking at Abraham, or Abram here, recognizing God as his Lord. But this passage also refers to Eliezer, Abraham's servant. So Abram was Eliezer's Lord in a personal sense. And at this point, as Abram mentioned, Eliezer was in line to get it all. He said, the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He's my only heir. Everything is going to go to him. Now, if we turn ahead to chapter 24, we discover that in the course of time, Abram did have a son, Isaac. And at this point in chapter 24, he wanted a wife for his son. To whom did he assign the task? To his trusted servant. Now, the servant is not named in chapter 24, but the indications are, and I believe it was very likely, the same man, Eliezer. Now, Eliezer could have resented Isaac because Isaac replaced him as the heir. He could have sought to have Isaac killed, or at least to have a life of hardship and difficulty. But what did he do? He was a servant seeking the will of his master. So he diligently did his best for his lord, Abraham, and for his lord's son. He traveled afar, made a difficult journey, and when he was there, he picked the most beautiful and industrious and hospitable young woman he found as a wife for his master's son. This, for Eliezer, was a tremendous act of sacrifice. He was basically sealing his fate as nothing more than a servant for his Lord. He was not looking for his own glory, but for the glory of his Lord. And this servant remains basically unknown. This passage in chapter 15, if indeed it was the same servant, is the only time his name is even mentioned in the book of Genesis. He was willing to remain obscure while seeking his Lord's glory. And that's what it means for us. To recognize God as Adonai is to seek his glory, even at the expense of our own. But there's something more. In this case, the servant sought a bride for his master's son. Now think about the significance of that. You see, our Adonai, our master, also has one son. And someday Adonai will be sending his son to earth to claim a bride. And if you truly are a servant of Adonai, he has commissioned you to find and prepare a bride for his son. You see, the church will be his bride, and you are here on earth to build the church. And as such, to help prepare a bride for the son of our Lord. Are we remaining true to that commission, or do we get sidetracked in our journey by the distractions along the way? If God is our Adonai, we will seek to bring glory to him. What better way can we do this than by preparing a bride for his son? So what does it mean to accept God as Adonai? It means that we belong to him. It means we will glorify him. Number three, it means we will obey him. Now, earlier in this sermon, I asked you if you like the definition of the name Adonai. Perhaps not. Perhaps you don't like the idea of someone having authority and control and power over your life. Perhaps you're not very impressed with this study of the name Adonai. You know it's God's name, but you struggle with accepting it in your own life. And if that's the case, you are not alone. You're not the only one. I'd like to look at three examples from the Bible. First is found in Exodus chapter 4, familiar account of Moses. And the setting here is when Moses in the wilderness, he saw the burning bush and he walked up to the burning bush and he was interacting with God there in this case. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Wrong chapter here. Chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto Yahweh, O my Adonai, I am not eloquent. In other words, I cannot do it. So what Moses was saying here was, God, Yahweh, I know you are my Lord, but But I can't do what you're asking me to do. I'm not going to go to work in the field where you are sending me to go. Verse 11, Yahweh and the Lord Yahweh responded to him. And again in verse 13, Moses said, O my Adonai, no, send someone else. Now, since when does the slave tell the master what to do? Moses knew that God was supposed to be his Lord, but he struggled to actually submit. Now, at the beginning of this sermon, I gave an account later in the life of Moses where he wanted more and more and more of God. And at that point, I think he had submitted to God's lordship. He came through in serving God as his Adonai. And I'm glad that this chapter is not the end of the story. Gideon is another example. We could turn to Judges 6. I think we won't for the sake of time. But here again, Yahweh appeared to Gideon. Gideon responded to him, O Adonai, I know you are my Lord, but I can't do what you say. So here again, we ask the question, when does a slave, upon receiving an order from his master, say, I can't do what you're asking me to do? Gideon knew that God was supposed to be his Lord, but he struggled. And I'm glad that that's not the end of the story. Gideon came through. And perhaps this morning you're at that same point where you know God is calling you. He is Adonai. He is your Lord. And you're saying, but Adonai, I just can't see myself in that role. Let's look at another example. We'll turn now to Isaiah 6, the passage that Joseph read at the beginning of the sermon. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Adonai. And it's interesting that in each of these cases, when we see the word Adonai, it is a man referring to God and recognizing him as Lord. And in this case, Isaiah saw Adonai. Do you see Adonai this morning for who he is? When Isaiah saw Adonai, things started happening. A lot happened. In fact, the very building started shaking. The posts of the doors were moving. And when you see and accept Adonai for who he is, things start moving. And maybe the very foundations that you're depending on start shaking. The foundations of your life, that which you thought was sturdy and dependable, starts trembling before his presence. In verse 5, again, Isaiah says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And in this case, he recognized Adonai as his King and as his Yahweh. Well, God also speaks to Isaiah here. He asks him in verse 8, who will I send? Who will go? And Isaiah realized he had no choice. And he responded, you are my Lord and my master. Here am I. Send me. I'm at your disposal. If God is your Adonai, you have no choice but to obey him. So what does it mean to have God as our Adonai? We will obey him. Number 4, we will be committed to him. Now I realize these things, we belong to him, we seek his glory, we obey him, we are committed to him. They're all somewhat synonymous, but there's different aspects of this. We will be committed to him. In Exodus chapter 1, we have an interesting account regarding servants and masters. And this chapter, this passage describes how a Hebrew servant could be kept by his master for only 6 years And in the seventh year, he needed to be set free. But sometimes a bond developed between the master and the servant, and the servant actually said, I don't want to go free. He came to his master and said, I want to remain your servant. I want you to be my lord and master. I want to remain in your care for the rest of my life. And when that happened, if he was willing to make this lifelong commitment, the master would take the servant before the judges, and he would take him to the doorpost and take an awl, which is a sharp instrument for making holes through leather or something like that, and he would pierce his ear with the awl, a visible indication of his commitment to his master. There is a song depicting that scene, a song of commitment, asking God to pierce my ear as a sign that I will serve him forever. You see, accepting God as Adonai means we will be committed to him. Are you willing to recognize God as your Adonai this morning? Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Adonai, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. If God is truly our Adonai, we will be committed to him forever. A few closing thoughts. There is something unique about the name Adonai. It's a little bit different from the other names that we looked at so far. And that uniqueness is that the significance of this name to a large degree depends on you. It's up to you. You see, God is Elohim. He is creator and he is eternal, and nothing you say or do will ever change that. God is Yahweh. He is self-existent. He is ever-present. He doesn't need you for him to exist. Nothing you say or do will ever change that. But is God Adonai, Lord of your life? That depends on you. Now, let us not be mistaken. He will have the last word. He is Lord and Master of all creation, and he will be Lord throughout eternity. But at this moment, the choice is yours. You're not forced yet to accept him as Adonai. The day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But why wait? Let us recognize him today for who he is, as our Lord, our Master, our owner, and our provider. If he truly is our Adonai, that means that we belong to him. We will glorify him. We will obey him, and we will be committed to him forever. Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Adonai, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. I invite you to kneel with us for prayer. Lord, again this morning, we thank you for the way you portray yourself to us through your names. Thank you for the privilege that we have of serving you and submitting to you. And Lord, this morning, we recognize that there is no other Lord and Master and owner that is worthy of our allegiance but you. And perhaps we struggle with that, as Moses did, as Gideon did. But Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to see you as Isaiah did, to see you for who you are as our Lord, and then to submit and surrender ourselves to you for eternity. We pray for your honor and glory. Amen.